Just a quick note before you listen to this episode, it does contain some language that some people might find offensive. Not every day can be Friday, not every bit of weather can be sunny, and not every plate can have cookies on it. That's why we love our pop culture serotonin.
Those are the things we watch or read or listen to that lift our spirits and restore our souls. They boost our moods even when we think nothing can make us feel better. I'm Stephen Thompson.
And I'm Linda Holmes. And on today's Pop Culture Happy Hour, we're sharing some of our favorites with you. Here with me and Stephen in the studio. Oh boy. Speaking of pop culture, serotonin, two of our very favorite people. First, an editor at NPR's Weekend Edition, the lovely Barry Hardiman. Hi, Barry.
Hi.
And with us in person, all the way from the West Coast, where he usually does his great work, it's the host of It's Been a Minute, Sam Sanders. Hi, Sam.
I like how you said that. Thank you.
No, it was like I had like a 50s game show feel.
I'm getting to be a better and better hype woman as I introduce more and more people.
Airhorn.
We are so excited to have you guys here. You're exactly the right people for this cheerful show we are trying to do. Yes. I am going to kick it off by going to my buddy, Stephen Thompson. What is your first pick? We're each going to give two things. So what is your first pick, Stephen?
Okay, so a quick little backstory here. I listen to music in the car for work. My kids complain about me listening to music in the car for work because I listen to a lot of sad dad music. That's what they call it. Now, a few years ago, my girlfriend, the marvelous Ms. Katie Presley, moved into my house and brought with her...
And your heart.
And brought with her a wave of positivity and joy and misandry.
Yeah. And I feel like we should point out, she was invited.
She was invited. She was invited. Yeah. And I realized, well, you know, Katie's moving in. I need to have a little bit more kind of Katie-friendly music to play in the car. And so I started an iTunes playlist called Katie is in the Car. Huh. And it is chock full of everything from Rosé Wave to hip-hop to Anais Mitchell to, you know, just all sorts of Katie Presley-style joy. And the kids very quickly seized on it. Uh-huh. I liked at the time to think of it as a preview of what their lives would be like under the Katriarchy.
I want to be under that.
Same.
Also, like, they very quickly got into all their new favorite music. They can't possibly get into their new favorite music through their dad, but they super got into all of Katie's stuff. So to kick off how different life is under the Katriarchy, let's listen to Big Frida.
Yeah. I'm ready for anything now.
I know. Not a sad dad in sight.
Woo! Is that refrain, ass everywhere?
Yes.
Love
that
it.
Is the title of the song, is Ass Everywhere. So I really like how quick the transition in their lives was from, like, here's a folk rock band from Portland. They have a cellist to the queen diva of New Orleans bounce, Big Frida herself. We have her memoir at the house.
Ah.
She continues to be this source of, I would say, intense joy. I mean, we talked about serotonin. Mm-hmm. I think this is a little bit more like an adrenaline shot directly into the heart.
Nice.
It kind of goes from zero to ass everywhere.
It stays there.
In record time. But there's also, you know, the Katie's in the Car mix has a certain amount of a filthy side to it that the kids also embrace, particularly on road trips.
I love merry filth.
It is. It's very filth. But there is this undercurrent of a message about taking control of your own pleasure and taking control of your own joy and just embarking on celebration for the sense of your own happiness. Mm-hmm. Big Frida's concerts, they take the ass everywhere theme to heart. There is a lot of suggestive dancing, but it is for the joy of the dancers.
Yeah.
So Big Frida is a tremendous, very, very quick jolt of serotonin anytime I need it.
All right. Thank you very much, Stephen Thompson. Barry Hardiman, what is that?
That's a real hard act to follow. I just want to say, like, because now I'm about to wade into Shakespeare.
hair like it?
No, it's the variety.
That's right.
Well, first of all, I actually do want to start by just putting in a plug for regular serotonin, if anyone out there is struggling, because I am a person that really loves just a little old regular serotonin. You can DM me about that. Anyway, so for me, I'm going to bring something to the table, which I've actually spoken about before when the great Trey Graham was here. This is something we had in common, which is called Slings and Arrows. It is a 3-season Canadian TV show that is this set of gems about the Shakespeare. I know, God, I really feel like a dork doing this after Big Frida. I really don't know what else to do.
It's okay, because the person that first uttered the words ass everywhere was William Shakespeare.
That's true.
If it's in ass, you like it. Right.
Oh, my God. I love everyone here so much. I'm going to cry. So much serotonin. Anyway, so Slings and Arrows was this marvelous Canadian TV series, which followed the slings and arrows of a Shakespeare festival in Canada. It was called the New Burbage Festival. This is actually based on a real theater festival in Canada, which when I was a child, I was dragged to it. Then I went willingly. Later on, I went back to date an actor. I mean, like, this has been a presence in my life, but each season takes on a different play. And they are so funny and so wonderful. The basic plot is an ex-actor has to take over as director of the festival when the old director is hit by a ham truck. That's right. It is silly. It is broad. And all of the actors are real Shakespearean actors, and each one takes on a different play. So the first season is Hamlet, where the new director has to teach a actor, a movie teen idol, to play Hamlet, and it's wonderful. Now, what is so great about the series, because I know it's the way that it's set up as a trope, is that each season, while both being about the Shakespeare and about the play and about the silliness of these actors and who's dating whom and whatever, is also really about the intersection of art and business. Mm-hmm. Because you can't do one without the other. Mm-hmm. Well, you could probably do business without art, but it isn't as much fun.
Yeah.
Anyway, you certainly can't do art without your business. No one's going to look at your ceiling, Michelangelo. Mm-hmm. So, but what's also wonderful about it, which really gets me to the serotonin thing, is that you get to see actors like Martha Burns and William Hutt and Paul Gross do the Shakespeare.
Mm-hmm.
So the beginning of it is Paul Gross standing with holding a toilet plunger doing Prospero.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to hear, you know, William Hutt, who was a marvelous actor who died in the maybe 10 years ago. You're going to hear him maybe in the last year of his life doing Lear, which is like one of the most wonderful things you can be present for. It is sweet. It is funny. It is sexy. It always makes me think about why pop culture is important, mm-hmm. which is that it is both something we sell and it is something we live, and it is something that lifts your spirit. So that is a thing I really literally will just slip in the old DVDs at any play, at any episode, and I will giggle, and I love it.
Wonderful. Slings and Arrows. Thank you very much, Barry. Sam Sanders, Serotonin.
Serotonin. My first bit of serotonin, it wasn't even a thing that I thought would be for me, and it's totally for me. It is the new album, Sweetener, by Ariana Grande.
Sure.
Woo-hoo! Yeah.
Let me just, like, we've all known who she is for a while.
Mm-hmm.
She obviously can sing. She has the range, as the kids say. But I never took her seriously because I felt like the songs she was given weren't big enough for her voice. I didn't know what she wanted to be as a pop star.
Mm-hmm.
And then she had some troubles. You know, there's that video of her licking a donut.
Oh, I
remember
forgot
that.
The troubles.
Forgot the troubles. Too. And then poor thing, she, you know, was in Manchester giving a concert when it was attacked by terrorists. And she was just in a strange place in this valley. And all of a sudden, we see Ariana Grande looking really happy in a relationship with Pete Davidson from SNL. And it seems as if she is in this new chapter of her life where she's having a lot of fun.
I feel like Pete Davidson is a victory lap.
Yeah.
This album isn't the victory lap. Pete Davidson's David, a victory lap. This album is just fun and much more inventive than her previous material.
And part of why I think it's so inventive, it's like, so half of the album is produced by the usual hit makers like Max Martin, right. But the other half is produced by my favorite, Pharrell. And so like a good six of these songs are just beautiful, perfect Pharrell, weird, quirky pop R&B.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I want to play a little bit of one for you guys. It's called Blazed. And it's just nice and airy in this perfect little Pharrell kind of way.
I
nice and smooth.
It is. I like it.
And, like, what I love about this is, like, it's as if Ariana Grande is taking the mantle of Pharrell pop to mm-hmm. the next level. Because he's been around for, like, 20 years. He's been doing this for everyone for the longest.
Yep.
And their partnership seems seamless. And it's also like there's some nostalgia in there. Like there's this other song in which Pharrell and Ariana are doing their thing. And all of a sudden, guess who shows up? Missy Elliott. I'm like, you got me so on a chase. Got me feeling so out of place. Think about you all of my days. Wish you chew on me like fresh grapes. It's just fun.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that she's having fun in a year where so much of pop just seems sad.
Yep.
Like
yeah.
the rise of mumble rap and mm-hmm. SoundCloud rap and mm-hmm. playlist culture have just given us, at least me this year, pop that just plods along.
Right.
This is decidedly happy. Mm-hmm. She's in a very, very good mood and a very, very good place. And I love it. Mm-hmm. And I even can digest the sappier moments, like the song about Pete Davidson called Pete Davidson. Is actually good.
Oh my God, really?
Yes.
That's like getting a tattoo.
Oh, I know. Yeah. I know.
Oh, dear.
Oh my God, if that's your biggest hit and you have to perform it in concert forever.
Yeah. Or like she has lyrics that are like totally sappy. Like one lyric is unfollow fear and just say you are blocked. But then you realize it's in a song that is dedicated to the victims of Manchester. So you're like, oh, this is good, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. I just like it. I'm happy that she's happy.
Yeah.
And I believe in Ariana.
I think good for her.
Yeah.
Right.
Good for her.
Yeah. Yeah.
That gives you that feeling.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Sam. I'm going to be another person to talk about music.
And
the Sublime. This is my Sublime. The next pick will be my Ridiculous. I want to talk about...
I thought you were going to actually pick Sublime.
I didn't.
And I was like, yeah.
We're here for it.
I want to talk about the general category of Broadway cast albums. They are one of my sources of uplift always. Mm. You can go for your newer Broadway cast albums like your Hamilton, your Dear Evan Hansen, things like that. Or you can go for your Broadway cast albums like West Side Story or Rent, something mm-hmm. like that. Mm-hmm. You know, older ones like Music Man and Bye Bye Birdie, I still listen to. The wonderful thing about them from a serotonin point of view is that you can either get your stirring, I'm excited and happy and I'm going to go reach for the stars song.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can get your, I feel like being happy in a kind of mopey ballad sort of way. So you can either find your searing love ballad. I actually found a playlist on one of my services, I forget which one, the other day, that's called I Wish Songs from Musicals. And it was great. It's just song after song in that little slot of musical theater that is the kind of dream song about your dreams and wishes.
Or in the case of Sondheim, an actual musical.
Right,
the
totally.
The entire musical.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I just want to say serotonin for me, as I said, some of my current favorites are Dear Evan Hansen and The Music Man is one I listen to a lot. I know it's weird.
No, it's not.
It's not weird.
And a lot of Sondheim. Company I have listened to countless times. Sunday in the Park with George. There's actually a really good recording of when Jake Gyllenhaal was in Sunday in the Park with George.
He can sing.
He can sing
deep cut
really well.
Wow.
And there is a recording of him doing that, which is really, really nice. Seek out some Sondheim. Seek out some kind of just old, upbeat, Guys and Dolls kind of stuff. Seek out new stuff. Seek out the SpongeBob SquarePants
which
musical.
Which is so good.
Which is really fun.
It is excellent.
Okay. And they got a bunch of different people to contribute music, including Jonathan Colton and a lot of other great folks. So that's my first pick is the Broadway cast album. Stephen, what is your second pick?
I'm sticking with music. I've tried to get my kids into various stuff I love. Andrew WK is one of my go-to serotonin instant mood lifters. I've never quite been able to get my daughter into him. What I did get her into and what the Katie is in the Car playlist got her into is Sleigh Bells.
I love them.
It sounds like this sounds like her.
Yes.
Yes. If I had had this when I was her age. Anyway.
Yeah, exactly. And it is this kind of mashup of stuff she loves. Aggression, for example. But also that kind of chant-along quality to it. In a way, it almost kind of meets in the middle between, like, big rock and roll and almost, like, the music that she loves that she hears, like, in anime. It's just this very overdriven, overloaded, fun. And I realized, as I was picking songs to play on this show, I realized I could just put the Katie is in the Car playlist on Spotify.
Ah.
So by the time this episode drops, I will put the entire Katie is in the Car playlist on Spotify so that y'all can rock out. I don't necessarily always recommend rocking out to it with your kids because some of it's kind of filthy, but it's a lot of fun.
Great. Thank you very much, Stephen Thompson. Barry Hardiman, second pick.
So when I think about things that make me, I tried to think of the thing that really pulls together many threads of myself, and that is R. Eric Thomas, who is a writer from the internet.
Yeah.
He pulls together Elle Magazine, a thing I love. He is a playwright. He is an observer of both pop culture and political culture in a way that is so funny that I have actually, rarely happens. I'm a giggler, but I'm not like a put the thing down, hold tummy, tear squeezes out of eye person. That is how I am with him. He is now really a political columnist for Elle Magazine, but he also covers everything else. So for instance, a thing that recently made me squeeze a tear out of my eye was him describing A-Rod taking pictures of J-Lo at the VMAs, which began with,
oh, yeah,
"It is a truth universally acknowledged that a man with an iPhone must be in search of an international superstar." So, I mean, it really pulls together, yeah, all my loves. This man is amazing. He is also, by the way, a really beloved playwright. I knew the point at which he was really my guy was when he was talking about how he moved from August Wilson and Arthur Miller to his new play is now structured more like Janelle Monáe and Beyoncé. I mean,
yes,
it's like all the, yeah, things, mm-hmm, are there. I must recommend getting the newsletter.
It's, mm-hmm, good. He has a newsletter too.
It is, yeah, so good. And it's just more personal,
yeah,
and every, mm-hmm, single line is so funny. It's, my husband has been like, when I start to, you know, giggle, and he's like, "Oh, you're reading that."
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Barry, mm-hmm, here's the thing. Mm-hmm. I have done,
yes,
Sam's show,
yes,
with R. Eric Thomas.
And he's hilarious.
He's, yes, wonderful.
He is so good.
Wonderful.
And like,
brilliant.
People know of his work without, mm-hmm, even knowing him. Like, mm-hmm, he made Auntie Maxine,
yes,
a,
yeah,
thing.
Yes.
Yeah. He made Maxine,
yep,
Waters, this, mm-hmm, dim house member from California. He kind of made her a star just in the way that he wrote about her.
Yes. Mm-hmm. He described himself at a fair as a child and how he experienced the fair. So it's not just like his own memoir. The qualities of himself as just a memoirist are just as marvelous as when he is, you know, covering the Manafort trial. Every time I look, every time I pick up the magazine or search the thing or get the newsletter, it is such a spirit lift and such a giggle. He just makes me laugh.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Nice. Thank you so much, Barry.
Welcome.
All right, Sam, second pick.
Yes, my second pick is a show that I have been enjoying and binging. It is called Claws.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes.
It's on TNT, yeah, and it has one of the most undervalued actresses of our generation.
Yes.
Niecy Nash.
Niecy Nash.
Oh, she is serotonin. Best.
She is like, yeah, everything she does is serotonin.
Yep. She's and walking serotonin.
Yep. I love this show not just because I interviewed her recently on the show.
Oh.
Check that out. She was delightful. But I love this show because it is Niecy Nash getting to be the strong lead that she always deserves, mm-hmm, to be. Mm-hmm. We saw her flourish on shows like Reno 911. We saw her flourish on Getting On. And now it's her time to shine. And she's the star. She plays Desna Sims, a nail salon owner who was forced to launder drug money in Florida. The nice. Show's been described as Breaking Bad meets Steel Magnolias, and it's just delightful, delightful, delightful.
Oh, I want those things to
it's
meet.
It's so good.
I mean, sometimes I really do.
I have a clip of the open of season 2 where she has had to become more of a boss in the whole money laundering operation, and she just runs that house.
Y'all will start collecting money from the clinic every day.
More D every day?
We also need a new wholesaler. I set up a breakfast meeting for you with the rep from Boca. He has a very competitive price on generic Oxy.
Very important question. What restaurant?
Novus, 9 a.m.
No, I prefer Palma. They got a lobster omelet that is to die for. Right?
Well, that's too damn bad, because your ass is going to be at Novus. at 9 a.m.
I just love, so for me, her the voice. New normal is Niecy in charge.
Yeah.
Like, she's in charge.
Yeah.
She's so authoritative, but I smile whenever she talks.
Yeah, but she's going to take care of you.
Exactly.
And she's like,
exactly.
I got you, and yeah. I'm taking care of you.
And, I should say, I first encountered her as the host of the reality show
yes.
Clean House.
Yes.
Which she won the Emmy for.
Which she was a delightful, great host. That's right. When I kind of got mm-hmm. to know her persona.
Wasn't she on Dancing with the Stars?
I think she was.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you very much. Claws on TNT yeah. starring Niecy Nash. All right. Thank you, Sam Sanders. So my first pick was my excellence pick. Now my silliness pick mm-hmm. is, and I mean this, go to YouTube and just search news bloopers.
Oh, wow.
My love,
great idea.
My love for compilations of mostly local news bloopers is unbounded. and there are so many compilations. And the great thing about news bloopers is very often what happens is it's live. It's not incredibly highly budgeted usually. It's also not, you know, it's not watched by 8 squillion billion people. Mm-hmm. Sometimes this is like the 5 a.m. news mm-hmm. out of Sarasota or something like that.
Yeah.
And so the stakes are not so high that it's going to be a national scandal if you flub your line. So people will laugh. They will bring a zoo animal on and it will bite somebody.
Yep.
It's just, they're so silly. And there are so many that are like a reporter out in the rain and a truck goes by and splashes the reporter. And it's so obvious, but they are so funny. And if you've ever watched them, you know what I'm talking about. There are a bunch of compilations of them. You could lose a day easily to compilations of local news bloopers. If you combine all the times that somebody means to say doc and says something else, and it's just so good. It is so good.
I accept that
challenge.
Can
I tell you my favorite one?
Uh-huh.
There is this journalist somewhere in the South, I think one of the Carolinas. He's doing a stand-up outside where you like walk and talk to the camera. And he's walking down this rural road and a big old fly just hits him in the face. So he stops his script and just starts cursing.
Yeah.
And they keep it rolling and you just hear him saying, F this town, F these people, F that bug. I watch it probably once a week.
There are a lot that involve animals that involve an animal that will come and stick its nose in somebody's neck or mouth or something like that.
Yeah.
There are also some great ones that involve the weatherman working in front of the green screen.
Oh, yeah.
Because that can lead to all kinds of bizarre. Uh-huh. There's an amazing one where a guy starts looking at a weather map where some of the temperatures say like 2,800 degrees and the weather map has just gone wacko. But he kind of goes with it. He starts saying like, oh, now this looks like it's getting pretty hot up here. I would just evacuate. I'm pretty sure this is the temperature where lead melts. I don't think you're going to make it if you're out here where, 1,700, that's a little better. But so news bloopers, just search
tip.
It on YouTube. Amazing.
I'm also just such a sucker for like that bus in Atlanta. Remember when the bus just like pulls up in front of
the guy's
the
trying
live?
To
oh, yeah.
shoot the demolition
of some building.
Bus. I think it's the Georgia Dome, isn't it?
I think it's the Georgia Dome.
And the bus pulls up and blocks the shot. So news bloopers, especially local news bloopers, that's my second pick. Tell us what lifts your spirits. Come and find us on Facebook at facebook.com/PCHH or tweet us at PCHH. When we come back, believe it or not, we've got our regular round of what's making us happy this week. So even one more good thing coming up. So don't go away.
This message comes from NPR sponsor, Zoom Video Communications. Video conferencing has changed the way we do business. Meet happy anytime, anywhere with Zoom, connecting team members across the globe. Imagine seeing up to 49 people on the screen at once in digital video. Share anything, a file, a video, a photo, via desktop, laptop, tablet, or mobile. Visit Zoom.us to set up your free account today. And meet happy with Zoom Video Communications, Zoom.us. Support for this podcast and the following message come from Dreams. Remember the X-Files, the show with the never-ending supply of paranormal problems and shoulder pads? Now you can watch it for free. Dreams is broadcasting the original series on Thursdays, starting from the beginning. Dreams is a new TV channel for your phone. It's free with no login. Download the free Dreams app for iPhone or Android and tune in on Thursdays.
Welcome back to Pop Culture Happy Hour. It's time for our favorite segment of this week and every week, more of what is making us happy this week. Stephen Thompson, what is making you happy this week?
In the spirit of serotonin, in the spirit of finding common ground with my kids, I finally got an NES Classic Edition plug-and-play game, which is 30 games from the original Nintendo system. So you got your Super Mario Brothers, you got your original kind of Legend of Zelda, Castlevania, but also like pretty nice arcade recreations of like Galaga and Donkey Kong. And what I discovered when I got this, and this has been out for a few years, but it's been impossible to find. It's the kind of thing you could only buy from scalpers for $300, but they've kind of issued another wave of them. I just found it. I wandered into Target and just bought it. What I've found is that this is kind of the perfect meeting in the middle of my video game playing abilities and my kids' video game playing abilities. Oh. So they're excited about playing the original Legend of Zelda because they have Breath of the Wild that they know how to play, whereas I just wander around getting zapped by lasers. So we're playing these games together. They're so primitive and retro to the kids.
They're like, it's vintage.
It's vintage. And for me, it's like, oh, this is where video games started to get too complicated. So we've had a wonderful time kind of meeting in the middle. If you feel nostalgic for these games, you've got to get the system. There's also one for the SNES, which is the more advanced, which, again, the kids are excited about. I get lost. But the NES Classic Edition, which now you seem to be able to find anywhere.
Thank you, Stephen Thompson. Barry Hardiman, what is making you happy this week?
Well, oddly, I'm going to continue in that vein because I also, this is the first day that both my littlest kids are both in full day school. And on the way over, I was thinking about how much pop culture serotonin is really important to little kids because you have to be able to distract them away from playing with the matches or whatever.
Yes.
And
that's true when they're 14 as well.
Yes, right. That's true. So, but here is one that I found. My kids are 3 years apart and we are, you know, I'm some 20-something years apart from them. And this is something we all enjoy. And so this one goes out to, I think, parents or anybody. It's so gorgeous. So Brian Selznick, who many of you know from The Invention of Hugo Cabret, Wonderstruck, these marvelous books that are, they really invented the form. They're this hybrid of this cinematic drawing along with words, and they're amazing. He has a new chapter book called Baby Monkey, Private Eye. That's right.
Sold.
Yes.
The first
three lines of this are, who is Baby Monkey? He is a monkey. He has a job. That's it. It's literally, it is such a gorgeous book. And here is what is so wonderful about it, is that first of all, he wrote it with his husband, who's a historian. So he did these wonderful illustrations. But it is a chapter book. You can't see him doing the air quotes now. So if you have like a little guy that's like, I would like to read a chapter book. And you're like, you're just like not ready for the Riverhead collection or whatever. You can read this whole chapter book in one night.
Nice.
And each chapter is a different case. The case of the missing nose. It's a clown. You know, the case of the missing pizza. It's a missing pizza.
I got that from context.
Did you? Yeah. No. Well, you know, I've been
smart.
Sorry, guys. I'm still parenting. They don't need me. Anyway, what's so marvelous is each shot of Baby Monkey waiting in his private eye office has a different set of drawings. So, you know, there's one when the astronaut comes in, you see the man in the moon, the George Méliès. It's like this little wink to people who may know from Hugo and Hugo Cabret. And there's also, so for my 7-year-old who can read, and this is, he thinks it's very funny because it all really revolves around whether or not Baby Monkey is going to get his pants on. I'm not kidding. So it's funny, but what he loves
like
is there's a real, exactly. There's a real index. My older son is learning how to use an index. Mm-hmm. Baby Monkey puts on pants, pages 130. The book is so gorgeous. It is the greatest gift. I just give it, read it, love it, look at it.
Thank you very much, Barry, for Baby Monkey Private Eye. Sam Sanders, making you happy this week? What?
Will Smith's Instagram feed.
Ooh.
And I'm only just going to prove my point, I will just list for you his last few posts. Someone parachuting onto Will Smith's front lawn. Jada Pinkett Smith doing the moonwalk in the hallway of their house. Will Smith sabering open a bottle of champagne at a fancy restaurant. Crappy Will Smith rap. Will Smith tap dancing in the shower. Michael B. Jordan staying in Will Smith's cabin somewhere saying he wants to challenge Will to a cook-off. And then Gordon Ramsay hopping in the comments saying, I'll be the judge. Also, Will Smith face dubbing himself with Halle Berry to wish her a happy birthday.
Wow.
This is the kind of hilarity he's giving you every day. Oh. All of it's happy and uplifting. I don't know if he's ever going to work again. But
who cares?
This is enough.
Mm-hmm.
And what is he just Will Smith on Instagram?
I think it's just Will Smith.
Wow.
It's worth it.
At Will Smith. All right, so making me happy this week, I got to attend the National Book Festival this weekend, and what is making me happy this week is marine invertebrates. I did a I did an interview, a conversation with Cy Montgomery, who wrote the book The Soul of an Octopus, and Julie Burwald, who wrote the book Spineless. And Spineless is about jellyfish, and Soul of an Octopus is about an octopus. In the one case, the octopus book is really about an octopus as an individual being with an individual kind of personality and how she discovered what an octopus's personality is like, whereas the jellyfish book is more about jellyfish as a species and what you can learn about the world. And also really cool little things, like there's a great story about Diana Nyad when she wanted to do free swims. Her biggest challenge was not fatigue or endurance or anything. It was jellyfish. It was box jellyfish. Huh. And what finally opened the door...
That's why I don't do that.
What finally opened the door for her to complete her most ambitious free swim was essentially having a jellyfish expert who went beside her the entire time to help fend off jellyfish attacks. It's so cool and interesting.
How does one fend off jellyfish attacks?
Do you just pee?
No.
That's what I would do.
That's a good idea, though.
I would just pee.
There is a lot of information in there about exactly how they went about protecting her from jellyfish. She had a special suit and all this other stuff. So I recommend both books. They are both incredibly insightful about nature and also human beings and the world in which we live. And in the case of the jellyfish book, what a bad job we're doing of protecting the ocean where most species live. Most animals and species live in the ocean, and we're messing it up, in case you haven't heard.
Yeah.
So
I don't always pee.
Yeah.
I would just yell, get. Get. Get out. Get out of here. Get.
So there's...
Go on, get.
I said get.
So marine invertebrates are what are making me happy this week. And that brings us to the end of our show. You can find all of us on Twitter. You can find me at Linda Holmes. You can find Steven at I Dislike Steven. You can find Barry at B. Hardiman and Sam at Sam Sanders, just like Will Smith got his own name. You can follow our producer, Jessica Reedy, at Jessica_Reedy. Our producer, Vincent Accavino, at V. Accavino. And our producer emeritus and music director, Mike Katziff, at Mike Katziff. KATZIF. Mike's band Hello Come In provides our in and out music, which you are bobbing your head to right now. Thanks to all of you for being here, to say the least.
Fun.
You that was so fun,
are a bunch of delights. Thanks to all of you for listening, and we will see you right back here next week.
As soon as you wake up, you need the latest, and that is why Up First is here. It is NPR's morning news podcast. In just 10 minutes, you can start your day informed. Listen to Up First on the NPR One app or wherever you get your podcasts.